Oh, to see the place of ultimate authority. Oh, to see the place of unrivaled majesty. Oh, to see the place of majestic royalty. Oh, to see the place that is the glory of all glories. Where is that place? In Revelation chapter 4, John got to see that place and hear some things there. And thankfully, he was told to write those things down for us that we might see with our mind's eye what he saw with his literal eye. And that we might hear on the printed page what he heard orally. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, he received an invitation into heaven. Here's what he wrote. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. After taking dictation from Jesus to write letters to the seven churches of Asia, John suddenly noticed something. What he saw has to be one of the most magnificent sights in all of the Bible, in all of history, and in any Christian's life. John saw an open door in heaven. What did that look like? Would you not want to take a peek inside? Does not an open door mean welcome? You can come right on in. The first voice he heard, and he says first voice because he is going to hear many voices as we go through the book of Revelation. But the first voice he heard invited him to come in. And like the voice of Jesus in chapter 1 of Revelation, this voice was reminiscent of a trumpet, blaring its declaration, making the announcement, John, come up here. Remember what was said earlier in chapter 1. John would be shown things that would take place after the events described in chapters 2 and 3, which we've already looked at. But in chapter 1, verse 19, he was told this: write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Jesus told John, I want you to write of three different times. Number one, I want you to write of the things which you have seen, referring to the revelation of Jesus that he had already seen there in chapter 1. And the things which are, referring to the things that he had written about the churches that's revealed in chapters 2 and 3. And then the things which would take place after this, referring to the matters that John would yet write from this point to the end of the book of Revelation. The things that John was shown at this point would be things that would take place sometime after the events of chapters 2 and 3. Next, let's take a look at verse 2. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Jesus had just spoken to the Laodicean church at the end of chapter 3. And to the Laodicean church in verse 21 of chapter 3, he had said that if someone would overcome, that they could sit down with Jesus even as He sat down on His Father's throne. And so then the next thing that John sees is the throne itself. Jesus had just spoken about the throne. Jesus had just spoken about sitting on the throne. Now John sees the throne, and yes, he will see Jesus right there at the throne. Because the seven spirits are around the throne of God, and Jesus has the seven spirits of God. And also tonight when we look at Revelation 5, there's something that happens there that shows Jesus is right at the throne. But I can't talk about that now because that's for tonight. So be sure you come back tonight. And then someone put John in the Spirit. Even as Ezekiel was placed in the Spirit and was transported to heaven. Heaven's a spiritual place. So he had to be in the Spirit. What did John see? He saw a throne. And as you will see from what is pictured, he saw a throne like none of us will ever see on this earth. John saw the ultimate sight. John saw something that cannot be surpassed in or on the earth or even in heaven. He saw the very center of heaven. The royalty that he witnessed was far greater than anything that the Roman Caesars would be showing John or someone else during that day, or the power that was there that day when John went and saw the throne, was greater than any power that we as Americans might imagine that our country or government has. On the throne, John saw someone sitting. And then he went on to tell us more about this sight. Revelation chapter 4 is only about God on His throne and everything that surrounds it. That's all that the chapter is about. So now, let's look more at it. Let's look at verse 3 and look at the one sitting on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Although John saw one who was a being, John did not use any human-like qualities to picture the one sitting on the throne for us. He used things, but oh, spectacular things. He spoke of precious stones and a unique rainbow. What would a man or a woman have to look like in order for us to do that? In order for us not even to compare them to another person, but to use precious stones and some beautiful thing up in the sky to say, this is what this man or woman looked like. We might say that someone's like a diamond, but usually what we mean by that is that he or she is that way in character, not so much in appearance. But what John is picturing here is what he literally saw with his eye. This one on the throne looked like a jasper. He looked like a sardius stone, whom John saw was far beyond anything human. The appearance of the one sitting on the throne was brilliant and bright. And rather than blinding light, as we'd expect, John saw color. Then John saw a rainbow around the one on the throne. But the rainbow was colored like an emerald, so that it had shades of green color to it. What an interesting way of showing God's glory. The glory that was emanating from the throne was different from the color of the one who was putting forth this glory. It was green in appearance, and yet the jasper and the sardius stone would have a red and brown and different colors mixed in like that with it. So he was, let's say, red in color, but he was putting off various shades of green. What a fascinating sight that was. Then John, with his eye, wanted to take in more, so he saw more things going on. And look what he wrote in verses 4 through 6. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. Haven't you noticed how the human eye does that? The human eye focuses upon a magnificent sight. But then it wants to catch more. It looks at the central image, the main thing that catches the attention, but then you notice there's other things around and you want to look at those too. John saw 24 more thrones. And on those thrones, he saw 24 elders. Later, when we get to Revelation 21, we will see the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of Christ all brought together. In verse 12 of Revelation 21, the 12 tribes, their names are written on the 12 gates of heaven. And in verse 14, the 12 apostles' names are written on the 12 foundations of heaven. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus told the apostles that they would sit on thrones and look at whom they are judging. Matthew 19, verse 28, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Therefore, John saw himself, whether he realized it, on one of those thrones. And heaven is the place where people from both testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament, the law of Moses and the law of Christ, people from both ages come together. Now the elders were wearing white robes, showing their purity because their sins have been washed away. This is shown a little bit later in Revelation chapter 7, where John is again seeing another sight up there, and someone asked him whether he understood who he was seeing. And look what happens here in Revelation 7, verses 13 and 14. "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' So he said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" Well, what is the blood of the Lamb for? We know it's to take away the sins of the world. And when do we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ? When are we washed in His blood? That happens when we're baptized. And so when we're baptized, because of the blood of Jesus, our sins are washed away. And so our appearance becomes holy to God. It becomes white, like these white robes. John could also see golden crowns on the heads of these elders. Suddenly John noticed great activity around the throne. After he's looked at them, now he sees lightnings proceeding from the thrones. Spectacular sights. He hears thunderings proceeding from the throne. Spectacular sounds. He hears voices proceeding from the throne, giving distinct purposes to the sights and sounds that he is going to see, that he is going to witness in the book of Revelation, including this chapter right here. So it's not as though God just wants to flash light at him or boom loud noises. No, there's a distinct purpose to everything that goes on. And many voices are shouting out these things to him. Remember God on Mount Sinai? The Bible tells us that when Moses met with God up on Mount Sinai, that there were lightnings and thunderings, and it was so much that it frightened the children of Israel. And they said, keep us away from God. Moses, you go up and talk to him, but you keep him away from us. And indeed, it would be quite a frightening thought. I mean, lightning and thundering is to us, especially when we're up close to it, and John was right there. It would be a frightening sight. Surrounding the throne of God were seven lamps of fire, symbolizing the seven spirits of God, as we've noted in the previous three chapters and as we'll see in the future of the book of Revelation. Therefore, don't see little candles burning there. I mean, these are torches. These are flames of fire. These are powerful, brilliant lights. Did you also see what was before the throne? A sea of glass. John said it was like crystal. What a sight, again, that must have been. And then he noticed some unusual looking creatures, four of them. They were in the midst of the throne and they were around the throne as well. The four living creatures, he said, were full of eyes in front and in back so that nothing escaped their gaze. John tells us more about these creatures in verses 7 and 8. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. In other words, the eyes are on the wings themselves. And they do not rest day or night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." The four living creatures look like earth-bound creatures. The first one was like a calf, fierce. The second one was like a calf, young. The second one had a face like a man, intelligent. And the fourth one was like a flying eagle, heavenly. In other words, he's not here on the earth. He's not bound by the earth, but he can take off and go up above. There are various interpretations of what they represented, but the most prominent one is that they represent the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you look at various commentators, even if you're not looking at Revelation, but you're looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you'll notice how commentators will picture the different Gospel accounts as sounding like a lion, or one's like a calf, or one's like a man, and one's like an eagle. John, for example, is like the eagle. He's so much different than the others. And so here they are, the four testimonies of Jesus that are on the earth in the Bible, but there they are up in heaven, the primary witnesses for mankind of who and what this Jesus of Nazareth is. John said that each creature had six wings, perhaps for the same purpose as the seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6. There the seraphim use two wings to cover their faces, two wings to cover their feet, and two wings to fly. John stated further that the creatures were full of eyes around and within. So if they also have great ability to see, nothing escapes their watchful eyes. The Gospels were not just for the Jews. They're not just for Christians. They're for all people. And notice that they have a never-ending job. Announce the holiness of God. I do not know if God will give us our choice of what we want to do in heaven. But if He does, personally, one of the things I'd like to do is, God, could I join the four living creatures to announce Your holiness? To me, that is such a blessed privilege that they have. They announce to heaven, and we hear to hear on the earth, about the great holiness of God. Now consider the magnificent and holy declaration that they're making. They make a triple declaration of the holiness of God, saying, holy, holy, holy. Then they make a triple declaration of the identity of God, Lord God Almighty. Then they make a triple declaration of the eternal nature of God. He was, He is, and He is to come. I want to take you now to Isaiah 6, I referred to just a few moments ago. And a reading of Isaiah 6 shows that this vision that John had in Revelation 4 is very similar to what Isaiah saw perhaps 800 years earlier. Listen to Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. Since God has always been holy, and since God is holy now, and since He shall forever be holy, this three-part, triple declaration in Revelation 4 never ends, and it probably never had a beginning. John saw what Isaiah had seen 800 years earlier. And I believe it's safe to say that 1900 years after John saw it, if God opened up heaven right now, we'd see these four living creatures and we'd hear them saying the same thing. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, He who was and is to come. There's no reason for it to stop. His holiness doesn't stop. And glory and praise for Him should never stop. So it's going on right now. And what thrills me the most is to know that someday we shall hear and see these creatures announcing forever their majestic, heaven-shaking, triple declaration of God. May God hasten that day that we may all experience it. Now let's look at the last section, verses 9 through 11, where they all worship God. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. When the four living creatures broadcast the holy and eternal nature of God, another thing happened in heaven. John called the emphatic statement of the four living creatures as giving God glory, honor, and thanks. There we go with three things again. John used a triple pattern to point out their three-part triple declaration of God. This is the activity of heaven, glorifying, honoring, and thanking God. And we have three who are doing it. There's God Himself, of course, John who's writing these things down and telling us what the four living creatures are doing, and then, of course, what they're doing. All these threes. In verse 9, John had stated that God lives forever and ever, and then in verse 10, he said it again, that God lives forever and ever. Now, did you see and hear what happened when the four living creatures glorified God? The 24 elders fell down before the Eternal One who sits on the throne, and they worshiped Him. As a further act of worship, they cast their crowns before the throne, demonstrating that the authority they have comes from Him. And they submit to Him without question, although they are, in a sense, kings themselves. But they recognize Him as the far greater one. In total agreement with the four living creatures, the 24 elders praise the worthiness of God. He is worthy, they say, to receive glory, honor, and power. He is worthy because He created all things, and without Him, nothing was created. He is worthy because by His will, all things exist, and they were created. Should we not join in with the four living creatures and with the 24 elders, worshiping and glorifying God, giving Him all the honor and the thanks? Now, I want you to think about this chapter in this book. We've already looked at chapters 2 and 3. Jesus said, troubles on the way. And in the following chapters, He's going to show troubles on the way. So why do you need to see a throne? Well, when someone is persecuting you, if someone is persecuting you, you need to remember the throne of God. Remember who is in charge. When the persecutor is persecuting, it seems like he's in charge. It seems like he's going to win. Oh, no. There is a God in heaven who is sitting on His throne, and He knows what's going on, and He'll take care of all things. Does the world have us outgunned, outnumbered, and outfinanced? Remember the One who is gloriously seated on the throne of heaven, looking over all the affairs of earth and all the people on it. Regardless of what the world does, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Romans 8:37. We are not just conquerors, but we are more than conquerors. Well, of course we are. Look who's on the throne. Look what we just saw, brethren, in Revelation 4. No matter what the world does, no matter how powerful the world becomes, and no matter how much the world fights against God, we cannot lose. Finally, I want to remind you of a passage that we looked at just not too long ago when I took you through the book of 1 John. 1 John 4, verse 4. It's because of what this passage says that we know the outcome. I can say with all confidence, as I just did, we cannot lose, and we will, in fact, win because of what 1 John 4:4 says, of course, in harmony with the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is showing us the truth of 1 John 4:4. What does 1 John 4:4 say? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Satan doesn't have a throne like this. There's not all this glory. He doesn't have angels proclaiming his holiness. But the final question is this: are you on the winning side? The winning side has already been revealed, although the end hasn't yet come. Why not be on the winning side? If you want to be on the winning side, you have to become a Christian. And you can become a Christian by believing with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you say, well, I already believe that, what else do I need to do? You need to be baptized in water. In a baptistry, such as, well, it doesn't have to be in a baptistry, but just as long as you're submerged in water. And we do have a baptistry behind us here, or behind me, just for that very purpose. And when you do that, God has promised He'll wash all your sins away. Do you want to do that this morning? Or do you need something else that we can help you with? If so, please come forward right now as we stand in